In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. I absolutely love how St. Paul begins his epistle that we just read today. See with what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand. You might say, listen to what clear and loud words I am speaking with you. Or as the deacons say often, let us attend. Listen up. This is important, is what St. Paul is telling us. Even those who receive circumcision do not themselves keep the law. But have a good showing in the flesh. And again, to interpret St. Paul, you could read this as, even those who are baptized do not live according to the gospel, but want to appear pious. Circumcision was a sign of the covenant between God and Abraham, a symbol that you belong to God, that you have committed yourself, your whole life, and that of your entire household to God. And the expectation is that if you follow this commandment from God, that the firstborn, that all males should be circumcised. If you follow this commandment, then you also are going to follow all the rest of them. But St. Paul tells us that neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything. Doesn't matter. But the thing that does matter, he says, is a new creation. This is what counts. A renewed person, renewed through a life lived according to the commandments of God. You know, Christianity is not about a set of ideas or feelings towards God and one another. We read in Matthew 25, God doesn't say, I was in prison and you felt sorry for me. I was hungry and you empathized with me. I was sick and you sent good thoughts my way. This is not what Christianity is. I was a stranger, and you taught me the right way to pray. That's not Matthew 25. But I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was sick, and you visited me. In prison, and you came to me. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. This is what it means to be a new creation. A life that is lived differently, reflecting a new and different master. Do I approach God with fear, faithfulness, and love as the deacon instructs us to when we come to the chalice? Or do I try to get by with the minimum I think is necessary for my salvation? Forgive me, boys, but too often, and I'm sure many have a similar experience, children are instructed, go clean your room. Okay, it's clean. So you go check. Is it clean? Well, cleaner. Try again. Okay, it's clean. Well, yes, it's cleaner. But we're not clean yet. We've got to get it clean. The minimum is not what we should be shooting for. Do I approach each other in humility and self-sacrificial love? Or have I fallen into this other way of treating others as people to be tolerated, as long as they benefit me in some way, or at the very least, don't get in the way of my happiness. It's very easy to fall into that trap. And when either of these negative situations become the case, we first must admit that this misses the mark. This is not where I intended to aim. And see, as an opportunity to then reorient ourselves, to adjust our aim, to return to that image of God that is in us, and to be a new creation in Christ. And we read in the Gospel of St. John today, "For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son." So loved. Not so loved this much, but in this way, he loved us, that he sent his Son to be lifted up upon the cross, to conquer sin and death through his death, and to rise on the third day, that whoever believes in him should have eternal life. You notice it's whoever believes in him, not bethinks, not thinks about him, but lives according to him. Christ came that we might have life in him. It's important, brothers and sisters, to discipline and direct our life in a purposeful way. A life that is unrestrained is distracted in the passions, and it loses sight of God. It has no life in it because it is disconnected from the source of its life. But the soul, the life that is lived deliberately and in Christ, not only has life in it, but our Lord says has it abundantly. And this word that's translated abundantly, almost universally, every version of the Bible, most versions of the Bible translated abundantly. So who am I to say anything different? But if you look at that Greek, it's not incorrect. But if you look at the Greek, it might more accurately be translated filled to more than capacity. That's a mouthful, though. But in Christ, we are so filled with life. We are filled with life to this degree, to the point of overflowing with him. Brothers and sisters, our salvation requires two things: the grace of God and our faithful response to him. By grace, we are saved through faith. We need both: God's grace and our faithfulness. We read today that Christ came not to condemn the world, but that it might be saved through him. He's not looking for excuses to exclude any of us. You know, again, it's easy to fall into that pitfall of thinking of God as the, cosmic Santa Claus with a naughty and nice list. Oh, there is another one. That just tipped the scales. I guess you're out. That is not our God. He is looking for every reason to save us, to bring us closer into a more perfect unity with him. This is our God, who loves us to the point of joining himself to our broken humanity, to show us a better way of selfless love of God and one another. It is in Christ, and specifically a life lived in Christ, not according to myself, not according to what society tells us, what we see on YouTube or TikTok or whatever else, but through a life lived according to Christ, we become a new creation and find salvation in him. Amen.